مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة
8:37 Central African Time at that time of the morning where we join our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, a member of Parliament, the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Quite an eventful day yesterday, I think. And I'm certain that most people have overindulged when it comes to all the edibles that you've had. I can tell you, you've seen it all. And I think it's getting more and more extravagant by the day, by the year. But alhamdulillah, yes, mashallah, day. Well, let's see what's the latest going on. Of course, they have now identified the body, the one that Thabo and Best and them were responsible for, and that was burnt in the cell. Very unfortunate and very sad. But look at to what extent. This sounds like a horror movie, actually. But, you know, it clearly shows that how you lose control in the country, how easily you can lose control when there's collusion and corruption that takes place with correctional facilities and this private security company where a mayor is also a shareholder in this company. So it clearly, you know, shows what's going on. Some shocking information that has come out from the Public Service Commission. Now, this commission has raised concerns with us previously, even when service providers were not getting paid on time and things, and they've raised concerns that service providers were only getting paid if they give a bribe to officials, despite the fact that we have given instructions that they must pay no later than 30 days. And the latest information is that 520 officials, most of them coincidentally at a national level, involving over 1.2 billion rand in corruption. Okay, so many of them have been jailed. Well, there's only 23 of them criminally charged, but of course there's been disciplinary actions against many. 265 of these alone were in the national level. And four of the provinces high on this is Limpopo, the Western Cape, of course, and the Eastern Cape and Gauteng. But it clearly shows that even the Western Cape, who many believe, you know, there's limited or very little or no corruption, is not immune to corruption in any event. Well, you know, we've got another serious accident. In fact, quite a few accidents reported. And if you notice the trend, you know, there's lots and lots of accidents recently. And this is our Justice Mokgoro, who is in hospital, critical, having an accident in Kimberley, another horrific accident in the Western Cape near Rawsonville, 8 people injured there as well, amongst many others. We are in the process, the NFP of one was buried late last night, early hours of this morning, and the other one is sometimes today in Shlushluwe area, an accident that took place. But the accidents are certainly on the rise and something that needs to be done. Another scam with corruption, KwaZulu-Natal feeding scheme for schools, basic education, 2.1 billion involved, investigations continue as far as that is concerned. So, yeah, there's a whole lot that's going on. As far as the ESCOM is concerned, I see some new direction in this. And it, again, smacks of some levels of suspicion. The Minister of Electricity, of course, okay, we agree with that you will not go ahead with recommissioning the coal-powered fire station. There should be no hurry while we have a problem, yes. But he said something the other day which makes us think again that some of these coal-fired power stations should be sold to private persons. So he wants to privatize. He's not talking about a joint venture between government, the state, and that. He's talking about selling it. It's not. We were not supposed to have it. They were moving from one extreme to the other. They were going to go into renewable. Suddenly, they do acknowledge that it is something that we're going to need. But very importantly, we must sell some of them to the private sector. What does it tell you? Does it not now beginning to sound like It's all about who is going to have control of the entire energy sector in the country. And we know that the president's brother-in-law and his involvement in the renewable energy sector and in the coal exporting and mining and things in the country, not forgetting coal and others. But it's beginning to open up a can of worms as to exactly what is going on. So, you know, I was actually shocked at that statement that was now being made. You want to get rid of it, but you want to sell it to the private sector now. But on one hand, you were going to move from one extreme to the other. You didn't want the coal-fired one. You actually decommissioned the one already in Mpumalanga in any event.
Now, Ahmed,
so these,
Ahmed, the question to probe you. Great Montage, or you're going to go for Pravin Gordhan? Or you're going to go for the head, big head, you know, CR? Something's going on here, but they are really, they've been running a racket with us, Ahmed. Your thoughts?
Well, to be honest with you, my concern is, and my observation tells me, that when anybody in an influential position in the country is involved, there has to be more than one. There has to be others. They're not doing it in isolation. If you look at it, if you talk about, you cannot separate, you know, the Ministry of Energy and with the, of Mantashe together with that of Gordhan. So there's no way I believe that one does not know what the other is doing. No ways. I just believe that, you know, public enterprises and the energy have been working in together. I mean, if you look at what the Rater says, he raised it with the Minister Gordhan with the corruption. Minister Gordhan's ways, yes, he did, but it's his responsibility. But you, the minister as well, what didn't you do about it? You, the minister. And you did nothing about it. I don't believe he did nothing. I think he discussed it even with the president and everybody. And they know who's involved. And they and so there's a cover-up, there's collusion, there's a lot going on.
Ramaphosa or the ANC playing, you know, walking a tightrope with the Western leaders, or they're playing Russian roulette with the Western leaders. I mean, I'm talking about the U.S., you know, Britain and, you know, Germany and so forth. They have given this government, they have given CR and his team perhaps millions and maybe billions of dollars to play the game. Go cleaner, go do this and do that. In the meantime, we'll be taking all your coal out and we'll do this and that. We'll be using military bases in your country. You toe the line. What's going on here? A Russian roulette? The bullets are being misfiring so far. When will the real bullet be fired, Ahmed?
Yeah, you know, the moment you are conflicted, it makes it very difficult for you to put the interest of others first. And that's the way we are finding ourselves. So currently, even the president of our country, you know, he is, well, actually, he's in a very difficult situation right now because it's always been pro-Western. And now you've got the Russia emerging with this new group. And he finds himself in a very difficult position. But one, the control that the West particularly has in all these countries, including South Africa, their investment and their threats of pulling out and things, pulling out their investments and whatever it is, you know, is a matter for concern. But it's something that we've allowed ourselves to. With what South Africa has, and the African continent, if you see a latest report, even on Zimbabwe, when it was under Rhodesia, whether you talk about shoes or whether you talk about motor vehicles, no matter what you spoke about, they were able to produce it, and they did produce it in Rhodesia. Today, they're producing nothing. It's exactly the same thing with South Africa. What we have, what we had, what we are still capable of doing and what we are producing and what we are doing and how we have this economy still in the control of a handful of people is another thing. So our problem, I think, is that is this, that it's not an easy task to get away from it, but it's something you have to have a long-term vision to get away from. The domination or monopoly that many of these big people, big conglomerates and the West particularly has. So our president, there it is, in such a hurry goes, they negotiate a loan of $151 billion. But there is his own minister singing another song. So what does it tell you? And where are you getting it from? The very same people that are in no hurry as far as coal is concerned in their own country, right? So what is it all about? So you are compromised when you also benefit from these things. And if you look at like the Motsepe organization and the foundation and where and their involvement in this economy and their future involvement as far as renewables are concerned in all the different sectors that they are involved, it clearly tells you it's going to be very difficult, you know, to move away from that. Very difficult. So, you know, I mean, look at the revenue that we would have been getting into this country, going into the fiscus, had we continued owning our mines. Now you got limited revenue coming in terms of taxes because of the exports of coal and things. But you can export it to the whole, to the world right now, who's desperate for it, and you have an abundance of it, but you're not considering using it for your own benefit and becoming energy sufficient in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at a message from Khalil. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz. Great to bring Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam. This man should be brought on every day. By the way, I do have him every day on another breakfast show. But Alhamdulillah, we'll be sharing that first segment with you on Marka Sahaba from tomorrow morning, inshallah. So you'll be listening to Ahmed, inshallah, every morning on Marka Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, for the next 2 weeks in on the breakfast show. So, Ahmed, this message here from Khalili says, Ahmed, the food prices, the electricity costs, municipal tariffs, medical and medical aid fees, and so forth, all are soaring as income falls, crushing South Africans' personal finances, while load shedding adds to the pressure on businesses. Ahmed, the story of consumers being squeezed on all sides is one we have heard endlessly for the past 2 years, but South Africans could be well be over the tipping point, could be well being over the Table Mountain, could well being over the Drakensberg, thrown into the potholes, no, into the sinkholes of Kimberley. Ahmed, how do you respond to our brother then?
Jazakallah, our brother there, and Eid Mubarak to you. Yeah, you know, I think the only problem I have with all this, everything you said is correct. Everything is rising. Cost of rising from food products to fuel to whatever, transport, everything is in rising. And there's no solution in sight. The crisis of energy in the country is not making it any easier on our people. You know, I don't know, maybe people must tell us, you know, call us and tell us that you have load shedding every day without fail. Many hours of the day, you have no electricity or any energy supply at all. And at the end of the month, are you seeing a difference in your bill? Are you paying less for electricity at this point in time? Because if half the time you don't have electricity, your bill should be half.
Mm.
Maybe that's what people should be telling us. But very importantly, the problem I have with all this, ordinary South Africans are very complacent and doing absolutely nothing about it. And it's not going to change unless you do something about it. We cannot sit back and allow it to continue because it's getting progressively worse every other day. And when the Minister of Electricity talks about that it won't be sorted out by this year, you know, he's trying to give you some hope. I can tell you it won't be sorted out in the next 5 years for minimum, you know. And unless, of course, they got some other plans. But I can assure you that unless the people on the ground start taking action, standing up and rising and taking back their country and taking back the country in control of this country, which the Constitution or the Freedom Charter said the people shall govern, unless the people start governing in this country, the future looks very doom and gloomy, I can tell you.
Ahmed, you know, as we talk, and Alhamdulillah, I noticed the engineer showing me that Jews a day will be 65 minutes. So in other words, we only have about 2 minutes to end our show, Ahmed. Your parting words this morning?
Well, yes, you know, based on what the brother said, you can see where we are in the country. You can see where we are going and how we are going down and how fast we are going down. Don't you think it's time for us to come together? We have the capacity. We have the integrity. We have everything outside of politics. Don't you think you must all come and be part of the solution now? Demand your rightful place in society. Demand accountability. There is an election coming, but let's not wait for an election. Let's stand and rise today, now. Hold municipalities accountable. You know, if you look at the cities and the towns that you stay in, the deplorable condition there, why should we be accepting, you know, second-grade cities when you are paying for these things? You're paying for services, you must get it. So only if we can rise from the ground and hold these people accountable, okay, and hurt them where it means most, and that is in their pocket by not paying, then only they will come right. That's my plea to our brothers and sisters.
Ahmed, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, we'll be talking to you tomorrow morning also. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.